Stay connected to Boston sports.
Who do you root for?
Connect with Boston's home for sports online. 98.5thesportshub.com.
You get to experience it for breakfast.
He's like, hello!
The Toucher and Rich Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Golden Knight's army has vanquished the kings. Feasted on sharks. And grounded the jets. Conquering enemies on land, sea, and air. The West belongs to Vegas. The Golden Knight's army has grown. Once there were 31. Only two remain. The capitals from the east attack our fortress. And they are here.
Five, the Sports Hub. We are Touch and Rich. For all that pomp and circumstance, that doesn't end that great. And they are here, I suppose. Yeah.
That's right. And then they come out, and everyone's like, wow, all that buildup and really not a lot of payoff
and
there at the end.
Here.
I love that this is pissing off, like, the old hockey people, like, so much.
We have left them pitch kettles. They're puzzled at which is happening anon.
Well, every prog rock band in America in Canada has come down to enjoy the show.
This is so fantastic because, Fred, you're right. This intro is maybe 10 minutes long.
Oh, it's crazy.
And it's got fire and it's got, you know, all these pyrotechnics and knights and people flying up to the
so
heavens.
Nerdy. Oh, it's just the greatest.
It's the nerdiest thing you've ever seen in your life. And in Vegas, it's perfect.
Yes.
But one great thing about it is, Fred, you make a good point. What's going to happen when they're awful and no one's showing up?
Oh, it's going to be so. It's going to be even more. Yeah. Like, it's just going to be like two dudes with styrofoam swords going. Rah!
Get the foam sword and get the guy who plays the keyboard out there.
Yeah.
Because all right. I don't know anything.
And I could make jokes about what celebrities would come to the games, but I couldn't think of anything worse than this.
Than what they've got. So before the first game, home game of the Stanley Cup Final, there is a giant concert that was outside, and we'll get to who that was in a moment, but there are all of these.
Just, I forgot all about that.
I mean, this is the best. It's the best. Like, I mean, no matter what team you have, you don't have more D-list celebrities than the Vegas Golden Knights. And if you think that I am speaking in hyperbole here, let's play a clip of something that was played before the game on primetime television. Do you have the one that I'm talking about? The one that starts with an R?
Yes,
okay.
I do.
This is, I don't even know if he identifies himself, but.
Well, why would he have to?
Why would he have to? Immediately? No, well, I mean,
if you see his gravestone. I mean, if you would have told me this guy died 20 years ago, I mean, I had, this guy, I won't give it away, but I mean.
The only way I knew who he was is because when I was like a small child, he had an HBO special.
Yes.
And that was, I mean, that was like in the 80s.
Well, he did Carson in the 70s.
Okay, this guy's been around for, right, he was old when I was like a kid.
He was doing Reagan when Reagan was president and he was old.
Well, let's take a listen.
There are multiples on the table. One is cash, three are FHA, one is VA.
Well, I don't think, is that
a whole lot of people want to buy this house.
No, that's not it. That's not it.
No, that is the house situation.
That is not the clip. Do you have the other one?
I have the other two.
That one's not it?
No, I don't even know what this is.
But you got this. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans makes the complex simple.
That's a commercial.
Oh, that's a commercial.
It starts with an R.
It does Rocket Mortgage.
Yes.
Obviously, there was a little bit of a mix-up.
Does it come after the Rocket Mortgage ad? How long is it? Maybe that was the ad that played before the video itself. It is.
I wish the...
Okay.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Good thinking.
But you got this.
Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans.
Free, quick. Skip ad.
Hang on.
No, I'm saying it's like you're clicking on your screen right now. Skip ad.
This is Ronald Reagan.
Oh, no.
Oh, wait, no. I'm not sure.
I didn't even
know he did this. I'm not sure who this is.
I didn't even know he did this.
It's kind of sad watching this.
How is he not dead?
Hold on.
See if you can identify who this is.
All right, I'm talking
like D minus.
He's doing Reagan. I just said I saw him doing Reagan when he was old on Carson.
Okay, so he did Carson in the 70s. He's doing
and
Reagan.
Let it roll.
Okay.
This is Ronald Reagan. I just want to wish the Golden Knights great success in the Stanley Cup. And I know they're going to win when, you know, they will probably get a number of touchdowns.
So he's doing Alzheimer's jokes of Ronald Reagan, a man who's been dead for quite some time.
Okay.
You don't know who this is?
Yeah, I think I do now.
Who?
Is this Rich Little?
Yeah.
They busted out Rich effing Little. Rich Little.
If he makes a jelly beans joke.
Okay, can I just, let me ask you this.
Oh my
he does
God.
Three more impressions. Who else does he do impressions of?
No. Carson is one.
Oh, no.
He does three more impressions.
Because they can be dead, so it opens up a whole thing.
I'll take away one that he doesn't do that I called. I said he's going to do George Burns, because that used to be a big one he did.
Carson is absolutely one of them. Absolutely one of them. That's how he became famous.
I don't think he does. Maybe he does do Carson. Oh, my God. Who does he do? Who was popular in the 80s? It's someone from the 80s.
Maybe even further.
Oh. Jimmy Carter?
No. Did he do Carter?
Should we let it play?
Yeah, okay.
Well, this is Jimmy Stewart.
Oh, God. Okay.
For the youth of today. Here's a Jimmy Stewart impression.
Man. How am I going to get that?
Why is he doing an impression of me?
He's doing Jimmy Stewart.
That guy doesn't run cats at all.
For that, I have a big surprise.
He's doing, in all seriousness, he's doing Jimmy Stewart, a man who was an adult in It's a Wonderful Life. Like, was he alive when we were alive?
I don't know. He died in 1997. So,
wow. Okay. He lasted that long?
Yes,
oh, my God.
He's still so vibrant and wonderful.
Yes. Well, this is Jimmy Stewart, and I'm just thrilled with the Golden Knights. I mean, boy, I'm telling you, they're probably the best basketball team I've ever seen.
All right, so these dead people are all very unaware of what's going on with the Golden Knights.
Right.
Ha, this is Jimmy Carter.
Oh! Freddie T!
That's impressive. That's
Jimmy
very
Carter
impressive.
Impression.
I never would have gotten that.
What
really good.
What percentage of the people at this game are like, you sound just like Jimmy Carter?
Oh, man.
And the jokes are like, hey, touchdowns, hey, basketball. You still got it.
Ha. This is Jimmy Carter, and I want to wish the Golden Knights great success in the Stanley Cup. I would have been a great goalie, you know. I could stop the puck with my teeth.
Well, this is Jack Nicholson. Good luck to the Golden Knights.
Who's the guy just that can't believe it in the background?
Is there somebody just losing it?
Yeah, listen, they're like, oh, my God.
Well, this is Jack Nicholson. Good luck to the Golden Knights. They're a hell of a team, man. You should see them on the ice. They're even better.
Okay. So that's like, they're rolling out Rich Little as one of their celebrity stars, which is phenomenal. By the way, Engelbert Humperdinck makes an appearance, I think, at one point.
I don't even, did he sing?
Did
he play some instrument?
No, he was a singer.
Okay.
He was a singer.
I couldn't even tell you what his hit was.
I'll have to look.
I know the name because they used to sell his records on TV.
Yes, that's the only way I know him, too.
Yeah, so he's like that one blind guy.
Ronnie Millsap.
Ronnie Millsap.
Yeah, which I actually know the guy who managed Ronnie Millsap. And that's, you know, he made a ton of money off of those TV things.
I bet he did.
Okay.
All right.
So then, but you think that, all right, well, we got Rich Little. We can't get much bigger than that. But then it was time to ring the bell. Do you have that?
Yeah, I do.
All right. Well, they said, here's one thing. We need to make the Golden Knights a little sexier. So let's bring out just the king of sex and magic. I mean, sometimes magic can be sexy.
Yeah, well, listen, they've crossed this path before.
Golden Knights fans, you heard the man. It's nighttime. I'm up here in the castle. Fresh off his performance up from Lil Jon and the best magician on the planet, my boy Chris Angel.
This is a man without a TV show. This is a historic game. Historic. It's the first game of the Stanley Cup final. It's the first team ever to reach there in the very first year they exist. And who do you got ringing the bell to start the game? You got the mind freak. You got Chris Angel.
Now, did he have some sort of like goblin do it for him?
Yeah, or... I'm sure there was one behind him at some point.
Yes.
Are you ready to get loud up in here?
No, you ruined it.
You ready?
Let's get this game started!
Chris, let's go! Crank it up! Come on, Golden Knights fans!
And now, from a guy who was within walking distance.
Seriously.
I hope they never change. I hope they never change this. I hope the biggest stars are Chumley from Palm Stars, Chris Angel, Carrot Top, Engelbert Humperdinck.
Penn and Teller, right?
Yeah, like Penn and Teller.
Would actually be someone you know.
But then, and we'll play a little bit later on, but you know, you had Dave Gosher interviewing Lil Jon. Like
do we have the video audio of that?
We have audio of Lil Jon being interviewed by Jeremy Roenick.
Oh, okay.
Roenick, who is ruining his reputation one little piece at a time.
Somebody said, when did they roll up Mickey Rooney? Sexy thing. That would have been actually pretty fantastic.
Sexy thing. Yeah,
he just became like all old and racist and crazy. All right. Rich Little. Jeez.
I mean, it's never change. Never change, Golden Knights. I want you to stay, like, Z level.
Well, apparently Rich Little can live forever. He's got some sort of device.
Somebody said he's only 79, and that would be a shock of upon all shocks.
Well, 79, I mean, that means 20 years ago, not to be obvious, he was 59. I mean, he was of a good age when he was doing Carson. At the height of his career.
Game 7 at home. And they were absolutely wretched in shooting the basketball when they got back home. And that is what ultimately determined what the hell happened in this game.
Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5 The Sports Hub. It's T&R.
I heard you like to party.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I mean, that's not the way human beings act.
Follow these guys on Twitter at Kutcher and Rich.
Boy, did Twitter explode.
Five, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich.
We went straight up, Jesus built my hot rod for a music bed? I'm all right with that, but my God. Playing that at 6 a.m. might be jarring. One of the best live shows I've ever seen. You've seen Ministry Live, right?
I have not.
Oh, it's one of the best. I mean, anyone who saw them, matter of fact, you could look at Lollapalooza in its entirety, all of the years that it went, and I think that everyone would point at Ministry as being the highlight of any of the shows. And I'm talking even when Pearl Jam was playing, when Soundgarden, Ministry in that second year, you talk about almost any city they were in, there were bonfires, there were people throwing things. Ministry is one of the better live bands that you will ever see. Now, there is something, however, that we do need to quickly address, because I didn't realize this happened when it happened, but I got a ton of people contacting me saying, did Fred just say something to Mike Gorman that I think he said? And so I had to get Mike to go back in the other room and pull the tape. And they didn't even need to pull it. They both went, yeah, he said that. Fred, this is something that you said, and I didn't even catch it, to Mike Gorman when he's on the phone with us.
No.
Do you think you'll weep at your daughter's funeral?
Big baby.
It's a Freudian slip.
I miss that.
His daughter's getting married.
Wow.
And to me, I somehow associate marriage with death. So that was a Freudian slip.
Oh. Did you know you said that at the time when you said it?
No.
No, I didn't even catch it.
I didn't know it until you just told me. No idea.
Do you think you'll weep at your daughter's funeral? Big baby.
So you end up coming back. And then saying it's your daughter's wedding, but the listener sure as hell caught it. Maybe Mike Gorman did. Maybe he's, you know, sitting right now with one tear down his eye, thinking of the, you brought him to a dark place.
Yeah. I just wanted him to, you know that he's going to live a long, fruitful life. I don't know. It's always dark in the recesses of my mind.
Like, how did that word get in that?
I don't know.
Sentence?
I must somehow equate marriage with death.
It sounds like
yes, it's the death of all things good in your life.
Apparently it is.
No.
Do you think you'll weep at your daughter's funeral?
Okay. Maybe we need a shirt that says that.
Mr. That's right. Mr. Gorman, again, that was a slip of the tongue.
I'm sure it was. Okay, so The Atlantic has reported that the Sixers are officially opening an independent investigation into Brian Colangelo's possible use of burner Twitter accounts. And to that I say, well, it's pretty easy. You can just kind of leave the evidence presented.
This should last maybe an hour if you have the right IT guy.
The only thing I could see changing is if Colangelo throws somebody close to him under the bus and says that it is a son or it's a relative and somebody's sticking up for me. I could see that happening. Now, I don't know if there's any way you can definitively prove that it's him if he doesn't cooperate. Maybe there is some sort of way that you can figure it out.
Even if it's his laptop, then you have to figure out who had access to it while he was at home.
I mean, if it's his laptop.
It's his laptop.
I mean, they got him.
I mean, they can get IP addresses and stuff like that.
No, what I'm saying is the excuse could be, well, my son commandeered the account and texted all this out. That goes with throwing someone close to him under the bus. But technically, if he really wanted to, he could get away with
it. Well, as a Celtics fan, what you're hoping for is that they aren't able to prove it and that he sticks around because he can't really fire him if there's no proof. And he could say it's not him, but everyone knows it's him. And maybe that keeps LeBron James out of the East. Maybe that is the one thing that's like, you know what? If all else is equal, I don't want to deal with this a-hole. I've dealt with an a-hole I don't like working with for the last couple of years in Dan Gilbert. Enough of that. I want to have a fresh slate. I want to start clean. I mean, there's another side of that is he could demand, if he gets signed, that they get rid of Colangelo and he can bring in his own GM. Maybe that's part of the bargaining chip that LeBron could probably waive there, and he's probably one of the few players
that
has that kind of power that could do that.
He could do that anyway. He could pretty much do that probably wherever he wanted to.
He could, but...
Again, I don't... Colangelo must have something either... Because I've been very, very pissed off on Twitter, and I've had to stop. I don't have access to the Fred Tutcher Twitter account because I had to stop because I didn't. Everyone's getting fired, and then now Roseanne is saying she did what she did on Ambien. Famously, I've been on Ambien.
Clicked it out of Ambien.
Oh. Yeah. So famously, I've been on Ambien and tweeted. I've gotten by the skin of my teeth several times. It's too easy to get wrapped up into. We're not ready as a society for it yet. I mean, you have a guy whose dad is remarkably wealthy. And that has, in his own career, this is the son, Colangelo, has had tremendous success in the NBA, and yet he finds himself in front of a computer.
I find this
making
amazing.
Up fake accounts to argue with fans.
And it's wild, too, because some people just can't get enough of this. I mean, do you remember when, you want to talk about fake burner accounts, remember when Skip Bayless was busted for tweeting a compliment towards Skip Bayless? Like, as a matter of fact, underneath, like, something he had posted, he had forgotten to change accounts, and Skip Bayless himself posted underneath it, "Skip, you are the man. Love the new show on FS1. And everyone's like, whoa, what is this?
So did he retweet that?
No, what happened was, like, he left a comment. It was actually a Facebook. It was a Facebook account, a fake one that he had not switched to. So when he left a comment under his own article, he forgot that he was under his own name. So underneath his article, it has Skip Bayless posting, "Skip, you are the man. Love the new show on FS1. So he got busted for that. But something you have been on board with for a long time now, and something that now everyone's starting to look around and saying, the only thing I can do on Twitter is get in trouble.
Right.
And there was this writer whose name was Wright Thompson. He wrote for ESPN, and I know he'd gotten in some trouble on Twitter as well. But he did an interview with Seth Wickersham, the guy who broke the whole Patriots thing with what's going on at Foxborough over the past couple of months. And in the interview, he said something kind of interesting. So this is from the Seth Wickersham article. He says, Twitter is stupid and I'll never get back on. One, as Seth says at the time, as Seth says all the time, what is the value of being right on the internet? Even if you do win an argument, who cares? And every single person, me and you included, are the distillation of our worst selves on Twitter. I don't get why I have to give people access to my pocket. I don't understand why anyone in the world just gets to mother blank me and I get to read it on my own phone. Why would you do that? It's insane. There is nothing I miss about it, and I will never, ever get back on it. I've been trying to get everyone I know off Twitter. It doesn't help you in any way. It doesn't move the needle for traffic at all. Facebook does. Facebook can swing a presidential election. Twitter doesn't do anything except get you in trouble. Dude, if you got fired because of Twitter, first of all, you'd feel like the dumbest mother blanker to walk the face of the earth, and you would be right. You would have killed the golden goose for nothing for trying to be funny.
Yeah, because there's no... And if you look at Roseanne, say she thought she was joke. Say Roseanne's joke wasn't racist and it was like a really good joke. I mean, what does that get her? She has the number one show on television. What, like, what does that need to do that?
You don't get paid more, right?
No, you don't get paid more. It's not like James Woods, who's very active and very right-leaning on Twitter, is all of a sudden, I don't know what that does for him other than people just enjoy arguing. But this, earlier in the show, we know that Rich is aware of media burner accounts.
Yep. There's several. I mean, I think there's a way. I think if you had to guess how many people in the Boston, like, radio land have a burner account, what percentage of people?
In sports, I think that it's...
In sports radio.
It's either one guy with a lot of them or a lot. I mean, because I
would say, like, 30 to 40%.
Okay, because there is a group of people on Twitter that I can't imagine that some of them aren't vested in some way in what goes on.
Well, there is, obviously, the Colangelo guy's got five accounts, so you're right. I mean, it could be one person with several different accounts. And, there's people that we know of who have had accounts, who have accounts, burner accounts, and it's, I guarantee you, it's probably 30 to 40%. I do not have one. I don't even see any sense in having it.
Rich won't tell me who the burner accounts are either.
I won't tell you here.
Okay. I did cave in and make an account on Twitter.
And that was because you wanted to be able to see the news, but you didn't want to
I have not tweeted on this account.
But you've never tweeted. Okay.
And it's locked. And I've never tweeted. So, No. It's for stuff like Paul Stanley.
I mean, to see Paul Stanley and Chris Angel together.
Yes. And to be honest with you, I don't look at it often because there's not a lot of news that comes out of it in just from what I follow right now. I don't even look at it that much. But I felt that I felt you guys were finding stuff on Twitter during the show and I didn't know what was going on. But I don't follow the show. Mm-hmm. I don't follow any of you guys because then if I do that, then I'm back in it. And I just want nothing to do with it.
Right. You see what people are saying and all that stuff.
I want nothing to do with it.
Oh, yeah.
But I follow like Breer and Dad Boner.
It is funny because it's going to get to the point where everyone's going to get found out. You're going to find out. If you have a burner account, people are going to find out it's you. It's going to happen. You're either going to tweet something by accident when you didn't change your name, or somebody is going to log onto a computer that you were using and you forgot to sign out and they're going to find out it's you. Trust me, they're going to find out. The chances of you screwing up and looking like an idiot or looking like somebody like Colangelo is now where he's ripped on people that are close to him, people are going to find out.
Are the people that you know saying negative things about other people or positive things about themselves?
Both.
Okay.
It's just like Colangelo. It's almost exactly like Colangelo.
And now what's the point of that?
To make themselves look good. To make themselves look amazing.
Then they'll like retweet something that they put up themselves.
Well, I would think that would be the case.
All right.
I mean, but Fred, it's
a long way to go.
It's very masturbatory. Twitter is exactly, that's all it is.
A very long way to go to get.
It is. Everyone wants to be right, and they want to make everyone else look wrong.
Like you're on the Twitter, and you're like, well, this guy really enjoyed what they were talking about.
Cyberbob 462.
All of a sudden.
Seems to like what Media Personality A is doing.
Well, finally, now I got to tune in.
Kutcher and Rich.
Self-help shenanigans.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stat.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what have we not gotten to today?
Okay, so over the last several months, there was a an uprising on the internet of people who, for some reason, said we are making our cause today to see whether or not we could get Weezer to cover Toto's Africa. That sounds strange, but that's kind of the way it all started. And they were bugged and bugged for months upon months. And then finally, a couple of days ago, Weezer said, here's that Toto song you were waiting for. And this was released. All I want to do when I wake up in the morning is see your eyes. Which I thought was kind of funny.
But they did do Africa.
Yes, they did. But eventually they did. But for a couple of days, everyone thought that Weezer had just completely trolled them and said, all right, we did the Toto song you wanted. And they came out with Rosanna. And then a few days later, that being yesterday, they said, all right, no, we're not messing around. We finally covered Toto's Africa, and this is how it sounds. He turned to me as if to say, hurry, boy, it's waiting there for you. Okay, so it's really good, and the reason it's really good is because Africa is a perfect song. It's
right.
A perfect song.
Best
yeah.
song of an entire decade.
It might be. I mean, it's you can argue that it's one of the best songs that was recorded in the 80s. So, and what Weezer did was they said, we are going to be as faithful to the original as possible, even the keyboard sound, and just maybe make the chorus a little more guitar heavy.
It just
and other than
like
that, it's almost exactly the same. And to that I say, I'm not going to blame Weezer because it was a ton of people who wanted it. And if I'm them too, I'm like, well, if this is kind of becoming an internet phenomenon, this might get a lot of people to listen to us and see us on tour. It might grow a buzz. People will talk about us. But it's completely unnecessary.
Yes.
It is a cover that sounds just like the original.
So there's more cymbal in the chorus, too.
A little more snare. The snare's more pronounced.
Okay. Well, very good.
But the harmonies are spot on. Go back and listen to the original, and that will give you chills. I mean, what's a better song from the 80s?
There isn't one.
Think about it. I mean, it's tough to come up with a list of five songs that are better than this one from the 80s.
Certainly in the argument.
Yeah.
You know why it sounds different is because, like, the dudes in Toto were all studio musicians, and they were all, like, obsessed with, you know that part of the 80s where everyone was obsessed with, like, nothing could be acoustic.
Yeah, right.
Like, the drums had to be boom, boom.
Synth drums?
Boom. Yeah, they were like synth drums. Like, everything was a synthesizer.
Yeah, so Weezer's finally released that, and, you know, obviously a lot of people like it. I just heard it, I'm like, and I'm not going to blame Weezer because it was by popular demand. They didn't just throw it out there, but it's wildly unnecessary.
Yeah, right after I turned it down right after the chorus. I was like, okay.
The whole thing's good, but it sounds just like the original.
No, yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
It's because it's a good song. And
Because it's a perfect song. You covered a perfect song, and you didn't mess it up too much. So congratulations. If you want a really good, legit cover, I still think that Faith No More doing War Pigs by Black Sabbath is one of my all-time favorite covers.
Them doing Easy by Lionel Richie.
Now, you want to talk about Letter Perfect?
Yeah.
Like, they changed nothing.
Except he goes,
at one point, he does.
I did that at a restaurant in Newport, and everyone, because they were playing Easy.
And you threw in the
Yeah, and everyone looked at it and said, you idiot.
Well, the Westgate Superbook in Las Vegas opened Golden State as a -1,000 favorite to win the best of seven series against the Cavaliers, which, of course, means that if you were to put $1,000 down, you would only get 100. What is that? 100? What is that? 10 to 1? 1 to 10 odds?
1 to 10 odds.
Okay, 1 to 10 odds.
Yeah,
you bet $10, it would earn you back 1. If the Golden State Warriors end up winning. So that might mean that you might want to take a look and put some money on the Cavaliers at this point.
That's why Vegas put it that high, to make sure that tons of money came in on Cleveland.
Yeah,
otherwise, no money would come in on Cleveland.
I have a bunch of friends who are putting money on Cleveland.
It's not crazy that the Cavaliers would win, and for several reasons. Number one is Iguodala. We still don't know what his status is, right? Aren't they still trying to figure out whether he's going to be returning for game one?
Yep.
So if they're still worried about game one of all time,
you don't know when or if Kevin Love is coming back.
Listen, the Houston Rockets without Chris Paul gave that Golden State Warriors a little bit of a hard time. So you don't think that the team with the best player in the world on it might be able to will themselves back, and Kevin Love possibly coming back?
that plus, they couldn't give them a little bit of a shot.
Plus, someone could get hurt.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, well, think of that. If Iguodala's out and, like, one of the major players gets hurt, or you saw what happened when Draymond Green was out.
Yeah.
I mean, that changed everything against a Cleveland Cavaliers team that wasn't nearly as, you know, as good as you would think. All right, somebody says they have five better songs than Toto's Africa. They say you're crazy.
All right.
From the 80s. All right, listen, you know, maybe you'll refresh our memory.
All right, Henry, go ahead.
Gentlemen, good morning.
Oh, it's Henry Rollins. Hello, Henry Rollins.
There are dozens of better songs than Toto's Africa. Okay. Top of my head, Clocked In, TV Party, Out of Step, straight any of those, anything off of 7-inch, anything off of SST.
By the way, is there a worse song than TV Party? In a worse video.
It's one of my higher moments.
No, it is not. One of
That's incredible.
Africa. And if you question me, I shall punch you in the chest.
Thank you.
Yeah, YouTube TV Party by Black Flag. Not great.
Speaking of someone who does not want the Cleveland Cavaliers to win, Demarius Randle of the Cleveland Browns, who's a safety there, tweeted out, if the Cleveland Cavaliers win the 2018 NBA Finals, I'll buy everyone who retweets this a jersey. He was retweeted 655,000 times.
So what's that come out to? A jersey's what, $100?
It comes out to that I was on Twitter and none of this matters.
Right, like, you can't sue me. This is right, not legally binding, but they are saying that it would cost $7.2 million if that ended up happening. So there you go. Well, go after that money.
Look at the Vegas odds.
Report just came in that the Super Bowl brought $370 million of economy to the Twin Cities because of the Super Bowl there. And to that I go, I don't know where that money was spent.
It was all spent at the mall at the Mexican
Ninja Turtle
restaurant.
Ride.
Whatever restaurant opened at a decent hour. Way to go, by the way, Mall of America, for opening your restaurants at noon.
Yeah, that sucked.
That's right.
That was really smart.
3 hours after we got off
Seriously,
the
mall was sitting next to the food court, which is of no value to us at any time that we were there.
There is a crowd of people starting at 7 o'clock in the morning, and the dumbasses that had the restaurants couldn't put it together.
We spent what?
An hour.
45 minutes or an hour wandering around that place looking for food after the show?
You'll never be more crowded full of people than you are during Super Bowl week with the radio.
My God.
You'll never be more crowded, and you refuse to open up your restaurant.
We're sitting, remember Fred and I were sitting at not the main food court, some random satellite food court together, just like twiddling our thumbs for 40 minutes waiting for a restaurant to open up.
Yeah, they didn't open until like
Rich
11.
Rich apparently went and got a haircut of some kind.
I did. There was like a place in the mall that had like a haircut. I'm like, well, I'll meet you guys
later.
I'll
see you guys later.
By the way, like a barber's open before a restaurant's open.
You get a haircut before
it's
you can eat food.
It's true.
You know, you plan for these things. When the Super Bowl was in Atlanta, you doubled the staff.
One week. You can't survive one week of extra hours?
Yeah.
With all the extra people in there?
Jesus, the Hooters in Indianapolis flew in every hot chick that ever had a Hooters uniform on.
$375 million spent in the Twin Cities, and $370 million of that at the Lid stores, the six of them that they had at the Mall of America.
Well, they don't want you to have to go too far.
They did not. They did not. By the way, one suggestion for a song that might be as good, Overkill by Men at Work. That's not as good, but it's a good song.
All right. Yeah. When Doves Cry, Pour Some Sugar on Me.
I don't like When Doves
Something
Cry.
Like
well,
that.
Where the Streets Have No Name. I mean,
Streets have no name.
Every Breath You Take.
Every Breath You Take is a top 10.
So those two are floating around there.
See, Every Breath You Take, I wasn't a fan of.
See, I think that's a perfect song.
Come on,
Eileen's a good song.
It's a good song, but it's not like Toto's Africa.
I mean, there's a bunch of songs
Which
I personally
Jovi
like
song?
Better.
Pick a Jovi song. I mean, any Jovi song.
Paul's Boutique was the best album of the 80s, but I mean...
But there's not one single song that's better than Toto's Africa.
You Give Love a Bad Name. There it is. I loved that album when I was a kid.
I always thought they were posers.
No, I just said Africa's the best song of the entire decade.
I agree. No, but, I mean, you're naming... When Doves Cry, there's like 500 better Prince songs, and I'm not even trying to be cool.
The Promise by When in Rome, that's up there. I'm sorry, but I'm just thinking of the right words to say.
Hey Mo!
Now we're talking.
Close, but no.
Master and Servant? Master and Servant. Let's play.
I don't know.
No.
I liked the Right Said, not Right Said, what was the...
Right Said Fred.
That's 90s.
No, no, no. What was the one, Relax?
Oh, Frankie Goes to Hollywood.
When you want to up to it.
When you want to
radio edit.
We'll find out what Zolak and Bertrand, they're over by Fenway today.
Oh. So, afternoon game, that's right.
That is. It's an afternoon game that I can't go to because my son has a game tonight. So you got to scratch that off the things to do list. We'll be right back.
Toucher and Rich.
He turned to me as if to say, hurry, boy, it's waiting there for you.
Five, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. A very heated Hardy coming in and saying how you can name a bunch of better cover songs. And yeah, you can name 300 better cover songs.
For sure. And, you know, you came up with the best, and it's got to be Johnny Cash doing Hurt by Nine Inch Nails. Johnny, that's his best. That's the best cover.
Yeah, Hurt by Nine Inch Nails is like, but it's the Johnny Cash one makes you want to cry.
Oh, and then you see the video, and it makes it even worse.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he was basically on his deathbed. Hell, I even like his cover of Personal Jesus and Rusty Cage. I mean, when Johnny Cash covers something, Rick Rubin knew exactly what songs would sound great coming out of that voice. But Toto's Africa, I'm not taking anything away from Weezer. It's just exactly the same. It's kind of unnecessary, and yeah. I don't mind it.
I understand the people losing their minds over it. And Burt Breer was the first one I saw it from. He's like, this is amazing.
It's the song.
It's the song. Yeah, and the song
Toto
is amazing.
Africa is an amazing song.
Yeah.
It's a slightly tiny bit different version of it.
But it's not like you listen to it and you go, well, now I get it. I mean, it's worse than the original.
Right.
Yeah, of course.
But you've heard songs that then someone would cover and then you realize, you know what, I didn't like, you know, like Madonna, Like a Prayer. But then I heard like John Wesley Harding cover it. I'm like, oh, that's actually a pretty good standalone song.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. Or you hear people may not have ever liked Nine Inch Nails, but as you just said, they hear Johnny Cash doing Hurt, you're like, wow, that's an amazing song.
And then there's lyrically amazing.
This isn't going to change your mind about Toto Africa.
Here's a great cover for you. It's already a great song. Down in a Hole by Alice in Chains is fantastic. Mm-hmm. Ryan Adams covered it, and he made it his own, and it's excellent. Excellent.
Ryan Adams is the master at that. He did the entire
Taylor Swift album,
yeah,
and covered it on his own, and it was legitimately good.
It got me listening to Taylor Swift a little bit. You know what? She's pretty good. Yeah. She writes pretty good songs.
She's all
he
right.
Didn't get the Anthrax version of Public Enemies, Bring the Noise, that happened for no reason whatsoever.
That was kind of fun back in the day. I'm the man.
It created a lot of fun.
Somebody said, I said, name 580 songs that are better than Toto's Africa, and someone said, well, you forgot obviously about Into the Night by Benny Mardones. Which is the creepiest lyrics ever.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'd give you any Kiss album and say, I'll argue that.
She's just 60 years old. Leave her alone, they say. Well, they being the law, separated by fools.
I was thinking about Pop Music. That was a really good 80s song.
Talk about
Pop Music.
Here in my car.
London, Munich, everybody talk about pop music.
Here in my car. Right. I'm the only one who made a video. So here you go.
Fear Factory covered that.
And it wasn't good. And they had Gary Newman on the song, and it was awful.
It kind of sounded like the original. It's another example of, we're just going to do it exactly like the original.
All right, Zoe and Bertrand at the Baseball Tavern. Hello, guys.
Hi.
Hello.
Damn right we are.
That's right. The Baseball Tavern. People coming out yet, or are we still waiting?
Oh, yeah. You guys hear us okay?
Yep.
Oh, good.
Yep.
You just named like 9 songs I never heard of.
We're talking your era, dude.
That's all hits.
Yeah. These are all hits.
Yeah, like the other, like Johnny Cash. I don't even know what you're talking about.
But you know the Social Distortion cover of Ring of Fire. You love that.
Oh, Ring of Fire. Oh, my God. I love that. Yes. Yeah.
So that's an example.
Yeah. Any Social D song. Love it.
Well, I mean, I think we can agree
with
that.
Sick Boy's my favorite.
All right. What do you guys got going today? You're over there at the Baseball Tavern.
Parking is really, really fun if you're coming down here to try and find.
We're going to talk about that for 4 hours.
Why don't you guys just take a car and then expense it?
Because they have to take a car from Providence. Essentially, that's where you live.
Bertrand could take it earlier.
They'll have fun pushing that one through.
I'm telling you, you could do it. You could take a car. Do you expense the parking, right?
Yeah, yes. Oh, yeah. So you think I've yet to expense anything. I gotta get on it.
I would. If I had to go out to the Red Sox game and I didn't want to deal with it. The Red Sox, I'd take the train. But if I had to go to the Garden, I'd take a car. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'd ride the train.
So I've never been on the train.
I've never been on a train.
The train doesn't go underground on the way from my stop.
Doesn't matter. I ain't getting on any train.
All right. You would be harassed by the common folk.
No, I just like having my will when I'm done and leaving. I don't have to go. Where do I got to go now? Am I going to get a ticket?
Yeah, it's okay.
Where's my car? Oh, there it is.
All right. Well, listen, I would take a car service and I would then charge the station.
She's walking fast.
Oh, boy.
People out working out here.
We'll start Red Sox today since we're down here.
All right.
We'll start with Alex Cora and David Price.
All right. Sounds good.
You guys, I want to know more about the person who's walking fast.
A lot of people walking.
I mean, just either. Why don't you
shiny object. What shiny does, object.
A lot of
what's
fun.
What's the down walking there fast to? It doesn't break.
Makes you get somewhere faster?
You don't need to get a stick up your rear. Just run. I mean, you're almost running to begin with. Run.
And then you can see him opening for Mitch Hedberg coming up at the Laugh Factory. All right.
Mitch Hedberg.
What's up with walking?